the stuff I deal with. I'm going to talk to you today about the stuff you deal with. I'm going to talk to you today about the trap of offense. The trap of offense. There's some offended people in the building. Come on. There's some offended people in the building. I offended some people yesterday. I offend people a lot. I do. How many of y'all are in a leadership capacity? You lead something. Maybe you're a supervisor. Maybe you are a manager. Or maybe you own the company. Would you please stand? If you own the company or you're a supervisor or a manager, would you please stand? Come on, help me here. These people offend people more than anybody else in the room. You're looking at people who offend other people. You say, why? Because they've been trusted. Now, how many of you that are standing would say, Pastor, you're absolutely right. I've made a lot of people mad. Come on. I make people mad because God's given me a position of authority. You can be seated. And I have a strong leadership perspective sometimes. And I say it this way. And you can borrow this if you like. If not, not going to offend me. Leaders lead. If you own the company, if you're the manager, you're the supervisor, you're the senior pastor, I promise you, you will tick people off. You will tick people off. And people are easily, help me here, offended. People are easily offended. Have you ever been offended? The answer is
yes.
Have you been offended lately?
Yes,
you probably have. People get offended easy. The trap of offense. This is in the Bible. I'm bringing you the Word of God this morning. Chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel, verse number 10. Jesus is speaking about the last days. I happen to believe we're living in the last of the last days because, believe it or not, Paul the Apostle, when he was preaching the gospel, he believed he too was living in the last days. Okay? But Jesus gives us a picture of something here. He says, and then shall many, I'm using the King James Version, and then shall many be offended. And there's a progression. I want you to see the progression that Jesus is giving us. First thing that happens is you get offended. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. Now it's getting to where the relationship that was damaged through the offense starts to affect other people. Y'all don't miss this. I'm going to preach today, okay? And then he says, and it will go on to the fact that it will result in hatred. And they shall do what? Hate one another. Make me sick. You ever said that before? Sure you have. That might have been on a Tuesday. Sunday you were speaking in tongues, you know. But Tuesday you were hating somebody. Because you went back to work. And you went back to normal. But he said this is what would happen. I grew up in a small Inner Banks town of Hertford, North Carolina, that came to be known as the town where Catfish Hunter was. I grew up in a place that's still there. My dad still lives there. He's only lived in the, you know, two houses, the one he was born in and the one that he moved in 1961 when I was born, 57. And it's a little street, Phillips Street in Hertford. And we grew up there. I grew up, when my grandfather bought that 6-acre plot of land, you'd pay more for a weekend getaway than he paid for that property. He bought it for $600. And he gave one lot to his son Jack, who was my dad. He gave one lot to his son Gene, who was my uncle. And granddaddy lived at the front of that property, and his sons built on the two lots in the back of that property. And the storyline would go like this. Once upon a time, in a small little town that came to be known as the home of Catfish Hunter, there lived a man named Zach Phillips who had two sons, Gene and Jack. Then the story would go on and on and on and on, and it would end up like this. And they all lived happily ever after. Well, that ain't the truth. Because how many of you know, in our family, we have squabbles. Come on. If y'all got family, then you have squabbles. Have you got people in your family that have offended you? The answer is?
Yes.
Have you got people in your family that you have offended? And the answer is yes. I mean, that's the way it goes, you know? But you see, you and I are subject to get hurt the deepest, somebody say deepest, the deepest by the people we love the most or supposed to love the most. And it doesn't go like this. Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, Jim Bob. Sleep well, John Boy. Good night, Mama. This is not a Walton's Mountain world. It's not the way we live. It's not a walk in the park. Because sometimes we have challenges in our relationships. I remember playing with my cousin, Donna. She lives in Greenville now. She and I are the same age. I remember playing with her. She was my first cousin, Jean's girl. Jean had two girls. Jack had two boys. And I remember playing with her, and I remember taking a .22 rifle and hitting me over the head and bursting my eardrum, just damaging my ear. I had to go to the hospital. But I remember retaliating. I remember going for broke when she hit me over the head with that .22 rifle. I remember scrapping and fighting and clawing and hollering and screaming. And I remember Grandmama coming on the scene, as she always did. Grandmama lived at the front of the property. She rolled her blonde hair that she got out of a bottle till she was 80 years old. She rolled that blonde hair up, and she used bobby pins. How many of y'all know what bobby pins are? I wonder why they named them after Bobby. But my grandmama was the healer, and she would call Donna, and she would call me after we scrapped and squabbled, and she would say, "Now you apologize, say you're sorry." And we would fold our arms and mess up our face in the worst possible way, and we would say, "Sorry." And she would make us say sorry until we added "I'm" to it. And we took away that ugly face, and we acted like we had some sense, and we would finally say, "I'm sorry." She said, "'Cause y'all love each other. Don't you? Don't you love each other?" Yes. Say it like you mean it. Yes, ma'am. Grandma was the healer because she didn't want us to have squabbles. But guess what? If you live long enough, honey, you're going to have squabbles. If you live with somebody, you're going to have squabbles. Seems like kids can get over squabbles easier than we can. I mean, how many of you here today have been offended at some time or another, or maybe even offended right now? You don't have to raise your hand because I know you're here. Because this is the stuff I deal with. This is the stuff you deal with. And have you ever dealt with it? Have you truly dealt with it? Are you over it? Has God given you a peace about this offense? Have you seen those relationships healed and restored and everything is back to the way it should be? In some cases, the answer might be yes. And in some cases, the answer might be no. Please don't do like some of my family. I got a relative that lives just a few miles down from the home place where I grew up that I remember when her mama, who reached the ripe old age of 102, my Aunt Maddie died at 102. And it was like being right here where Aunt Maddie lived. Joy has been there many times, right down Snug Harbor Road. Phillips brothers were in the grocery business. Clyde had a store, Charlie had a store, Zach had a store. Okay? And they were all just 4 or 5 miles apart. I'm talking country store, Hoop Cheese, 2 for a penny cookie, 10 cent Coca-Colas. Come on, somebody. That's where we grew up. They were all businessmen. They were all entrepreneurs. They were all ones who had their own business and they worked on cars in the back. That's the kind of family I grew up in. But I grew up in a family that did not easily forgive. And I remember when Uncle Charlie, he had already passed away, and Aunt Maddie was, she was just aging and aging and aging. She made it to 102, and her daughter, somebody say daughter. When Aunt Maddie died, it's like being here, and the church was right there in this house right next door. They lived across the street from the church. And when Aunt Maddie died, her daughter didn't attend the funeral. You say, "Well, what if some of your family's watching this?" Hello, family. Y'all get over this, okay? I'm talking about you. Because somebody needs to say something. Somebody needs to break this spirit of unforgiveness. And so what did the stuff happen over? Well, let's go to the backyard. Behind the house, there was a farm, piece of farmland, and we come to know that over 2 rows in that garden, that kind of unforgiveness took place because you plowed in the cornfield too close to my yard and took in my 2 rows of the garden. And those 2 rows of the garden kept that woman from attending her mother's funeral across the street. She refused after people went to her, look, you need to get over this. I'm not going. She didn't go. That woman died, was buried, and her daughter did not attend the funeral. Now, how many of y'all are willing to raise your hand now and say, I can relate to that in my family. Come on, help me here. Thank you. We have stuff that happens in our family. You say, well, how in the world would something like that happen? How could this happen? Listen, maybe it's not two rows in the garden. Maybe it's not unforgiveness that would keep you from the funeral. But maybe your spouse had a season of failure in relationship years ago. And somehow you always want to remind them of their betrayal. Well, it won't me. It was you. Maybe your spouse had a season of failure. Maybe one of your parents failed and you've never forgiven them because they failed. Perhaps something happened at the church. You never felt like you were given the proper treatment by the pastor or the staff or even other people in the church, and your heart and your spirit toward that spiritual leader just isn't what it should be. So you left the church, and now as you look at every spiritual leader, you don't trust any of them. That ain't that spiritual leader. It's your unforgiving heart. See? Or maybe at work, you do all the work and somebody else gets the credit. And you have hard feelings toward colleagues that you work with because they don't pull their fair share of the rug. We don't like to think so, but offense happens in our lives. It's the stuff we deal with. See? In fact, one of my minister friends says it like this: if people in the church can't kill you, you can't die. Okay. If people in the church can't kill you, you can't die. You can get hurt in the house of God. You can get wounded in the worship setting and the place where love is supposed to abound. You can get the wind knocked right out of your sail. Because people get offended. People take offense. Jesus talked about it. He speaks of it in this Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 24. Has Jesus leaving the temple? And he makes his way to his favorite spot for the master. Been there many times. Love it. Going again in 2019. He goes to the Mount of Olives. He goes to the Mount of Olives. The solitude, the quiet place, the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse number 3, has him there. And the Bible says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Lord, tell us, when shall these things be? He's talking about this coming kingdom. He said, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and at the end of the world? And Jesus begins to give those characteristic events, such as wars and rumors of wars. If you've read Matthew 24, you've read that before. And then natural disasters, and nations shall rise up against nation. We've seen all that come to pass. And then Jesus adds this as he brings it down from general things like wars down to specific things like offenses. You see, you say, what? I'm reading you the Bible. I'm just studying out loud. I'm telling you that the Bible says that one of the characteristics of the last days is that we will have problems in our relationships, and even in our own families, we will have offenses that will run very deep. Look at verse number 10. Then many shall be offended. I let you read it one time. Here it is again. And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Notice the power words here. Notice the word many. Then shall a few be offended. Then shall a lot of people know. Then shall many. Many is how many? At least 51 out of 100. Because if it's at least half, that's a lot. That's many. At least half, he says, many will be offended. There'll be a lot of people offended, maybe 51% or better. This word offended is a word that you can probably recognize where we get our modern day word scandalized. It's a verb. Many shall be what? Offended. It means to put a stumbling block or a trap in the way. There's a trap right there. It's set too, honey. See the sweet spot right there? That's a trap. The sweet spot is where we get the word offended. Many shall be what? Shall be offended. Many shall be scandalized. Many shall find a trap in the way. another that another may trip or fall. It's a metaphor here, meaning to offend somebody. That's the sweet spot of your relationship is an offense, where you could possibly get offended to the point where you would feel like causing another person, it goes on to say, causing a person to begin to distrust or desert someone else. Walk away from a relationship because don't want nothing to do with you. They ain't going back to that job no more. I quit. People quit. People walk. People walk out of churches. Man, I've seen squabbles in churches. How many of y'all seen squabbles in churches? I've seen folk get mad. That's why in this church we don't have committees. Some of our people believe that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave a committee. We don't do that. That's why you don't pick out carpet. You don't pick out paint colors. Nobody's doing that. Who picked it out? I did. With help. Because if you form a committee, you are setting yourself up for a trap. That's why we don't have elections in this church. Well, who chooses the leaders? I do. Because there's been many a church that has squabbled and fussed and split over somebody in a deacon election. God never showed you in his word that you were to have an election to have deacons. He said, choose you. Choose don't mean that you have to have an election with ballots. Okay? Somebody say, leaders. Leaders lead. Okay? People get offended. People fall into the trap. And man, when the offense takes place, there you go. The offense takes place. He done struck you and wounded you, and now you're going to drag this thing around. When the animal falls into this thing, this is better be tied to the tree. Okay? And in some cases, we've got some traps that have been drug around, and they drag it from one. They drag one offense. You get offended in church A. You show up in church B with a smile on you. Hello, how are you doing? Well, welcome to our church. They don't know who they just welcomed to their church. I have pastors all the time getting all upset because so and so left. Some people need to leave. You don't need all of them. You better ask God to filter those people that come through those doors and bring us people that will not walk in the door with such an offense that they're not willing to get rid of. You say, you don't want folks coming to the church? Sure I do. I welcome everybody. But if a person's coming here just to wreak havoc on what God's doing, then we don't need that. So you got two choices: get delivered and set free, or go on somewhere else. We don't need disunity in the church. And that's my job, is to make sure that me and the leaders make sure that we protect the unity. That's why many of you have said, I remember we asked them in the membership classes, why did you choose Carpenter Shop? Well, when we first came here, you know, we felt the love of God. That's something that we must safeguard, beloved. We must protect the spirit of love in this church, because without it, we're in trouble. You must have love in the church. And it must start from the headship right on down. Your pastors must be loving people, people who love everybody. Your leadership must be loving people. You can't have folk who got a bad attitude. It just has to be that way. I offend a lot of people. I do. I offend people every week of my life, some way or another. One-on-one, in a group, leading a meeting, saying something. I think he should have said that. Well, talk to him about it. Our problem is when we get offended, we don't talk to the person who offended us. We tell everybody else. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Powerful words here. In other words, you get offended to see in another what I disapprove of, and if they and they are hindered from acknowledging that authority. That's why I said some people just have problems with submitting to authority. Some people, when you say the word pastor or spiritual leader, they just cringe. They don't trust no pastors. When you say manager, boss, owner, supervisor, some people just cringe. Why? Because they don't trust no managers. They don't trust no supervisors. I guess you're going to have a hard time making a living if you can't submit to authority. Unless you own the joint. Okay? If you own the place, then that's fine. But you got more problems. Talk to anybody who owns their business. They got more problems than you do working for somebody else. Because they got to put up with a whole lot of people. My grandfather, bless his little country heart, Zach Phillips, he had a sign hanging in the back of his business. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. My grandfather said before he died, he said, there's two things that every human being ought to have to do. Serve 4 years for their country and work a public job dealing with people. He said, every human being ought to have to do that. And he said, if they did, this world would be a better place to live because people would learn the virtue of patience and understanding. I mean, listen, if you want to see people get upset, walk into the retail world where they're exchanging their money for your goods. If you don't get your hamburger right, you know, or man, they overcooked it, or I asked for onions and you didn't give me onions. I've seen Christians, tongue-talking Christians, lose it because you left the onions off my hamburger. I mean, people just, you know, people will do crazy things because they got offended because their hamburger won't right. Well, cook your hamburger at home and shut up. Cook it the way you want it. I deal with this stuff all the time in the church, the churches that I have to oversee. I deal with stuff like that. I tell them, listen, if that bothers you that bad, if it really bothers you that bad, and you hate to see this thing go, take it home. But we don't need this, okay? We don't need this. You must understand that if a ministry is going to survive and thrive today in today's church market, it must be a changing living organism. You must change things, mix it up, change it up. We get so accustomed because if we don't change it, you begin to worship it. And it becomes a sacred cow. I told a group yesterday, when I see sacred cows, I want to go, shoot them, boom. Ooh. We don't need any sacred cows. Okay? No sacred cows. You can't begin to worship things. You worship Jesus. And sometimes people in the church can get offended. Well, I don't know what they're doing with all them lights. I don't know why they put black carpet up there. I don't like black carpet. You know? People get offended by so many simple things. When if your heart is right, you'll look beyond those things. Okay? Offended is a powerful word. So after you're offended, then comes the next word. It's a powerful word too. Your tendency is to betray somebody. Betray means to give into the hands of another or to give over. That means you walk away from that relationship because you're offended. You left the church. You quit your job because they ain't treating me like this. You betrayed them. You made a commitment. You signed a paper when you went to work and started collecting your money that if you were going to leave the job, you would be kindly give at least a 2 weeks' notice. But when they rubbed you wrong, bless God, you walked out in the middle of your shift, you Christian tongue-speaking person. You walked out in the middle of your shift. And then you go to the next job, and you're trying to apply for a job, and they call for a reference on you, and they say, hey, has John Doe ever worked for you? Oh, yeah, well, how'd he do? Well, he did a great job, but, you know, the way he left, what do you mean? Well, you know, he walked out the door mad. And then that manager may say, well, you know what, I don't need that. I need people who are faithful. If you said you'd give a two-week notice, bless God, give three. Just say to the person, I need to leave the job. Obviously, I'm not happy here. You saw that yesterday, but I gave you my word. I'd give you a two-week notice, so I'll work with you at least two more weeks, and if it's putting you in a jam, I'll work 3 weeks. Okay? Jesus said if a man, listen, hits you on one cheek, what does he say do? Turn and say, go ahead, knock yourself out. But people, Christians, don't live the Jesus way. We just don't. We do opposite of what the Bible says. We do what we want to do. So we'll betray people, to give over to one's power or use, to deliver up one to custody, to be judged. We'll get angry. And then after we get angry, we betray people. And if we're not careful and we don't deal with it, then we will hate them. That means to detest or to pursue with hatred. To detest or to pursue with hatred. Proverbs says it well. Proverbs 18, the first part of verse 19 says, an offended brother, somebody say offended brother. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. In other words, if you tick me off, then I'm willing to hold on to that and hold my position stronger than the walls of a fortified city. Whew. Solomon, bless your heart. That's a strong word. Cities of old were fortified by walls. Today we have these green signs that say, welcome to Ahoskie. The city lines, the city borders. But the old cities were fortified by walls, and an offended brother will build up walls, deep walls, stone walls, hard walls, that will keep you out. Walls that are stronger than that of the cities of old. I remember years ago in Murfreesboro, how many of y'all know there used to be a car wash in Murfreesboro? There used to be a man in Murfreesboro named Billy Edwards who owned a lot of things in Murfreesboro. He had an Exxon station, a car wash, a car dealership. His name was Billy Edwards. He had a gas station. Guess what? My car ran on something called gas. And I needed some gas. We were running down Main Street, and one of my deacons in the church at the time was riding with me. And I said, man, my fuel light's on. I'm going to slide in. No, 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 don't go in there. I said, man, my light's on E. I just noticed it. I'm out of gas here. We're going to be pushing. I ain't going in there. Don't you go in there. I ain't buying nothing from Billy Edwards. I said, you ain't buying this gas to start with. This is my gas. Okay? And I don't care what Billy Edwards did to you. I ain't pushing this car. If you got to duck down, get in the back seat, I'll even willingly put your hind parts in the trunk, but I'm getting some gas. Okay? And so I got out and I got my gas from Billy Edwards' Exxon station that's no longer there. Car wash not there. Car lot not there. And Billy Edwards ain't there. Okay? Why? Because he was so offended because he bought a car from Billy Edwards and he didn't think that Billy did him right. And now you want to bring your offense that is stronger than a city wall. Are y'all hearing me here this morning? You want to bring this offense into the equation when I need gas. Partner, you better deal with this thing, okay? We just need to get real. This is the stuff we deal with. Everybody gets offended. And when you get offended, the only thing left for you to do is repent. Get it right. Get it out of your system. I'm asking you the question, are you here today and you're walking with an offense? You have hit the sweet spot. Somebody has hit the sweet spot and you are offended. The trap has got you. It's wrapped around your heart and it's affecting the relationships that you have in your life today. See? Let me just confess to you as a pastor that I've taken the bait before. I've been offended before. And I've had people that work with me get offended. I had a person that worked with me one time and I eliminated their job, terminated them, fired them, whatever way you want to say it. And every time I fire somebody, I tell you about it the following Sunday. Because I don't want you to hear about it on the street. I don't want you to say, hey, guess what he did? He let so-and-so go. I'll tell you as soon as we meet together again. And I'll tell you why. And those of you that have been here any number of years, you've heard me stand in this pulpit and tell you several times of people that worked for me and I terminated their jobs. Because that's what we need, communication. So I terminated somebody that worked for me years ago. And it became a very bad situation. They became offended. I did everything I could to try to heal that. And the Holy Spirit tried to help me with it. One day the Holy Spirit spoke to me in a Christian bookstore. And said, I want you to buy this person a gift. And I said, what? He said, what, Lord? Buy this person a gift. I said, Lord, okay, I bought the gift. I took it up to the house. And I heard little feet running in the house. And knocked and knocked and nobody came. I said, well, I'll come back another day. So the next day I came back and I knocked again, heard little feet running, nobody came to the door. This went on for some time. I just held on to the gift. About a week later, I go back again, get out of the car to go knock on the door again. And they had purchased a sign that has the same colors on my overheads here. It was a black sign. You've seen them. For sale, for rent, keep your dog on your own property, all these other signs. And it said, no trespassing. I said, wait a minute. No trespassing on the door? Must be because I've been knocking on it for several days out of the last week. And no trespassing. I said, okay. So as fate would have it, one day, a year and a half later, I had a chance to have lunch one day with another brother, and I called him. I said, hey, man, let's get together for lunch. He said, well, it's probably not a good day, Pastor. I said, well, what's going on? You busy? Well, and he whispered to me that person was with him. I said, no, this is probably the best day. I said, instead of buying two chicken boxes from Bojangles, I'm going to buy three. So I bought three chicken boxes. And I showed up at the place where they were, and we turned over buckets and sat down on the bucket, and it was quiet. It was real quiet. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, today's not about chicken. I said, I'm understanding that, Lord. I said, what is it about? He said, today's about a day you apologize. I said, you sure you want chicken? Okay, you know. So we sat there for a minute, and I looked at that person that I had terminated and hurt their feelings and offended them, and they kept me out of their house, and I wasn't able to give them a gift, and the no trespassing sign was posted. And I looked them right straight in the face, and I said, you know what? Today's not about chicken. I said, today's a day that I want to say to you, obviously, when I terminated your job, you were deeply offended. Because I've made an effort to reach out to you. You canceled me on Facebook. You blocked my phone number. I said, obviously, there's a problem here. And so I want to say to you, I am deeply sorry, sincerely sorry, that my actions made you feel that way. And I'm asking you for your forgiveness. The man began to cry and said, I forgive you. I've already forgiven you. And I want to say something to you. I am deeply grateful for the opportunity that you gave me to serve with you. And I handled some things the way that I shouldn't have handled them. And I would not be the man that I am today in Christ if it were not for a leader like you. We ate chicken and we cried. We ate chicken and we cried. We ate chicken and we cried. Sometimes, sometimes I've told people, said, listen, you need to just go to apologize. I didn't do nothing. Well, listen, if that's where you are, go ahead and enjoy your bondage, okay? If that's where you are and you can't say, even if you don't think you were wrong, you can't utter two words from your mouth, I'm sorry, then you got a problem deeper than just being offended. Well, when she comes to me, no, you go to her. You go to her. You restore that relationship. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Make every effort. Somebody say every effort.
Every effort.
Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord, and that ain't got squat to do with long hair and long dresses.
Amen.
Without holiness, I use the old time Pentecost, you say, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord, and they used to let their hair grow long and wouldn't put any makeup on their face, and they wouldn't cut that dress either, man. Got to have long dress, because without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. That ain't what that verse means. And Jesus talked to the Pharisees. He said, holiness begins not on the outside, on the inside of the bowl. Okay? He says, make every effort to live in peace with all men, and without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. Don't you miss the grace and keep on holding on to this offense. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Why does a bitter root cause trouble? Because you will forfeit your blessings. You will forfeit your blessings. I remember the individual that I was just referencing earlier. I remember during that year and a half, 2 years of complete separation and being upset and all that, someone called me and said, "Hey, I need to get up with so-and-so." I said, "Well, I don't have his number. I mean, I have the old number, but it doesn't work. I can't get in touch with him. I'm not on Facebook anymore. I'm blocked off. I wish I could help you." He said, "Well, man, I need somebody to come and do this service, and I'm willing to pay." Somebody canceled, and I'm willing to pay, and I know he does that, and I could give him like an honorarium of $500 if he would just. I said, "I can't get in touch with him. Can I just read you this one more time?" He says, "If you're not careful, the bitter root will cause trouble, and you'll miss the grace of God. You'll miss the blessings." If I could have just said, "Hey, yeah, he's not too happy with me right now, but I'll get in touch with him. I'm sure you can get him right quick." I couldn't do that. Then he says it'll defile many. You know why it defiles many? Because when you are offended, when you're wounded, when you are in the trap of offense, you are not happy just keeping that to yourself. Somebody's name pops up. "Oh, don't mention their name." Say, what do you mean? "Well, you don't want to hear. Do you want to hear? I'll be glad to tell you." Bye, 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 bye. You start speaking in tongues. You're just ready to tell your story. Why? Because it will defile many. In other words, your story's got to be told. You got to tell your hurt, and how bad they treated you, and what they did to you. And every time you tell the story, you got a different version. See? As much as possible, make every effort to live in peace with all men. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, we're coming to a close here. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Paul said to the church at Colossae, chapter 3, verse 13, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another." Why? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Ephesians 4, 31, 32, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you." Why is it such a hard thing? Why is it such a hard thing for Christians to just say, "I'm sorry. Obviously, I offended you. I'm sorry." I grew up that little town in Hertford. My grandmama, she was the healer. She pulled us together. "Say I'm sorry." Man, we gritted up our teeth. We made our faces mess. "Sorry." And she would make us say sorry over and over and over again until our attitude complemented our words. "I'm sorry. Now hug each other." And we hugged. "Put your arms around each other when you hug." You know, she went, Grandmama, man, she worked through the whole deal. She was going to deal with this thing. She was going to get it out and get it on the road to recovery as quick as possible. And you know what? God wants to be the same healer for you. He wants you to get over this stuff. In Psalms 139, last verse, and then we're going to open the altars again. Ministers, please come. Psalms 139, 23 to 24. I read this because, why, Pastor, why are you preaching this message? Because it's the stuff we deal with. It's the stuff we deal with. Psalm 139, 23, 24. "Search me, O God." Come on, say it with me. "Search me, O God. Know my heart. test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Very, very important part of the verse 24. See if there is any offensive way in me. And please, Lord, lead me to the way that is everlasting. My mind wanders today to our Celebrate Recovery class. We had a discussion in there one week, and this issue of forgiveness came up, and it was Mac Peace who said to another brother, he said, man, you need to forgive that guy. You need to forgive him. The guy's head started shaking like that. He said, nah, brother, you need to forgive him. Can I just borrow from Mac today? Some of y'all here today, maybe you got some business to do. Nothing to be ashamed of. I've been offended, and I have offended. Okay? And the best thing you can do for the whole of the kingdom and the whole of the relationships that exist in your life is to say to that person, to say to that situation, I release that. I just turned this loose today. I'm done with it. I was pumping gas one day at Speedway, and a guy that I excommunicated from this church, I've only done that twice in 25 years. You say, what does that mean? That means you get a letter from the Ahoskie Police Department and the Hertford County Sheriff's Department saying that you are not to step foot on this property again, and the moment you do, you will be arrested for trespassing and disrupting a religious service, which in America is not a good charge. I've done that twice in 26 years. You got to have a good reason to do that. I did that to two people in 26 years. And I was under a lot of guidance and help before I made that decision. And one day I was pumping gas at the Speedway down here before it was a Speedway. It was a trade in those days. My cell phone rang and I picked it up. And he said, hello, Pastor Wallace. I said, yeah. He said, this is. And he called his name. He said, well, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. And I know it's been years since you've even heard from me, or even maybe not even know where I am or what's happened to me or anything. But he said, I don't want to talk to you today. I'm not asking for anything except one thing. He said, I would like to ask you to forgive me. Because when you dealt with me at your church, you were right. And I was deeply wrong. And I'm just asking you today from a cell phone in Phoenix, Arizona, would you please forgive me? I said, yes, I will. He said, have a good day. Phone hung up. That was it. Years. Years. Would you please forgive me? And guess what? His request changes the way I feel about him. It's got to make life better for him. Amen. If you want to be free, remember, how many of y'all watch Andy Griffith besides me? I still do. Isn't it so funny that there's two jails in that building? And between those two jails and the cinder block column, and you reach up there, and there's a key, okay? I say all that to say this. If you're locked up in unforgiveness, the key is right there at the door, okay? I think the prophetic word today, or the gift of the Spirit today, had something to do with opening doors. You really have the liberty to open the door for freedom in your life. Because the Holy Spirit is knocking. And he's saying, man, I just want to give you a lift in your step. I want you to feel better. I want you to be able to worship more free. I want you to, your relationships to be healthy. So I'm asking you this morning, if you would like someone to just unite with you in prayer, Maybe you need to come and say, hey, I offended somebody really bad, and I want to pray for them.